going to talk about a study entitled Mind the Gap, looking at environmental barriers to train travel for people with physical disabilities. This project was funded by a grant through Easter Seals Project Action, and ACTION stands for Accessible Community Transportation in Our Nation, in association with the Association of University Centers on Disability. So they put out a grant opportunity to trainees, which is myself as a student. I'm a doctoral candidate at the University of Connecticut School of Social Work, working at a USED, so I could apply for this grant. And the topic was very broad. They just wanted research related to transportation for people with disabilities. So we had recently done a series of focus groups in the state of Connecticut about transportation issues. So we knew that train travel accessibility was an issue for people with disabilities in our state. But there had also recently been an accident on one of our local railroads. The Long Island Railroad that comes out of New York City up the island has a huge problem with, with their gaps between the train car and the platform. Some of their gaps they report in the newspaper article about this accident are 24 to 30 inches exiting the train, which is a huge gap for anyone to deal with. So this recent issue of someone having died by falling in the gap made it something that we thought we were interested in at our center to look at. So what I wanted to do in the study was to identify what some of the barriers are to travel, and then to talk with people who do travel, who do have physical disabilities, who travel on trains, to find out how they do it, how they overcome these barriers, and then to create a tip sheet for people, other people with physical disabilities who don't currently use trains, in an effort to encourage them to do so more. And then also in our final report, I looked at the difference between the formalized policy-driven solutions that the train stations put out about accessibility and compared that to what people who actually use the system have found. So the methodology was a brief literature review, a single focus group. I should say this is a very small grant of just $3,000, so you know, we couldn't reach very many people, $3,000. But we did do a focus group and then field research. And we were originally just going to do research on trains in Connecticut, but Easter Seals was interested in expanding that research, so they did give us some additional funds. So we traveled on railway systems in Connecticut, New York, down here to D.C., also looked at the metro rail here, the subway systems in New York, and then the commuter rail system that goes through Connecticut and the state of New York. So there was very little found in the published periodical literature about train travel for people with physical disabilities. Very little research has been done. Mostly what's published is reports about what train stations are doing to increase accessibility. So what I did instead is go to the websites of these train stations that we would be evaluating during our field research and look at what they had to say about accessibility. Oh. Sorry, I messed that up. Okay. So I've divided the information that we looked at into specifically managing the gap, because that's one of the biggest barriers that I wanted to talk about, and then also accessibility in the pedestrian environment of the train station, and then in the environment on the train. So when I looked at what the websites of the railway providers had to say, almost all of the information that they talked about was related to the built environment. So managing the gap is an issue that was discussed on the websites. Bridge plates, ramps, lifts, those things were explained, which stations had them, who you needed to contact at the train station to gain accessibility. And then in the environment, many of the websites listed accessibility features that they offered, such as elevators, ramps, handrails, those type of things. And then accessibility seating on the train is mentioned on all the websites as well. And one thing we did notice is that most train providers who do not require reservations for non-disabled passengers do require reservations for travelers who have a disability in order to gain access to the accessible seating. So then with the focus group, we looked at what they interpreted to be the biggest barriers, and managing the gap was the biggest barrier for them. But it wasn't necessarily managing the physical space. It was accessibility to equipment and relationships with the railway personnel. So they identified the most important thing is finding the right person to help you. And there was a lot of animated discussion about how you go about doing that. Lots of information about some railway providers are very helpful and some just are not. Not surprising. So, finding the right person, finding the equipment is also a big deal. I don't know if any of you have noticed, but a lot of times the bridge plates that are used for the gap are locked up. And who has the key is often a mystery. Having the bridge plate there is good, but having someone there to operate it and have access to it is also good. And then another thing that came up in managing the gap is adaptive equipment. Our focus group, we invited people with physical disabilities who had experience riding trains was our criteria for a focus group. And interestingly enough, all of the people who participated used electric wheelchairs. So a lot of the information we got was specific to riding a train with an electric wheelchair. So managing adaptive equipment was a big discussion. Who you want touching your chair, the differences between chairs. A lot of railway personnel are likely to just do what they think needs to be done, and the focus group was very clear that you need to, as a rider, be very specific with the railway personnel about how you want them to touch your chair, if you want them to touch it at all, and telling people, get out of my way, because a lot of electric chairs move very fast and you don't have a lot of room to negotiate. And one of the participants says, she told me that she always tells railway personnel, if you want me to run over your feet, I will. If not, move your ass. So that seems to work for her, because apparently she's ran over a lot of feet. You know, the chairs are like 400 pounds, a lot of them, so hers specifically. So, and another barrier that the group identified was anxiety about crossing the gap. Again, with a gap that's 24 inches, that's frightening. A lot of the gaps are a lot smaller and not as big of a problem. Many of you probably rode Metro Rail in today. The gaps here are very small. This is a very accessible railway system here in D.C., but in other places it can be frightening. And depending on what type of railway car there's, the steepness of the ramp can also be a problem. So, in terms of accessibility, we've heard this a lot today. Restrooms not being accessible is a big issue in train stations as well as everywhere else. Elevators and escalators in train stations, when these are out of order, you have a big problem. And so even though you can, you know, look at the websites and see that the rail station is accessible, if you show up and the elevator doesn't work, it's not accessible. This is a much bigger issue when you're already on the train going somewhere and not knowing when you get off if you'll be able to go where you want to go. So that was identified as a big issue. Let's see what else. Not advertising of the reduced priced fares was identified as a barrier. Not being able to access ticket counters, those type of things. And then in field research, I rode the railway stations, like I said, in Connecticut all the way down to D.C. I rode Amtrak, the subway systems in New York, D.C., and then the Metro Rail. And I also did a field excursion with a person who uses a chair and her service dog from Hartford, Connecticut, into New York City. So that was part of this experience, too. And what I found was the biggest barrier to managing the gap was railway personnel, the attitudes of. Some were very helpful, and the process was very smooth. Some would set the ramp up and walk away and not offer any help, or stand some distance away and wait for you to ask for them for help. So that was the biggest barrier. For accessibility on the train, almost all the trains except for the subway say that they're, you know, fully accessible. The New York City subway say that they're fully accessible, but the aisles are very narrow. So you have to have a chair that you can really control very well in order to get down these narrow railways. And accessibility on the train environment varied a lot, too, by what type of train you were riding. In this region between D.C. and New England, Amtrak has a specialized train called the Acela, which is wonderful. It has wide doors and aisles and bathrooms that you can actually get a chair in and out of quite easily. The only barrier to that is the cost is almost 50% more. So while it's excellent for people with disabilities, a lot of folks with disabilities don't have resources, financial resources, so that is a struggle. So what the focus group did is give solutions on how they solve these barrier problems, and we created a tip sheet for train users. And here's the main bullet points up here, and there's copies of this tip sheet out on the table for anyone who's interested. But they gave some very specific points of, you know, things that you should do. One of their main suggestions was people really need to plan ahead. You can't trust what's on the website and what's being provided there in terms of what's accessible. You need to go and see for yourself. They really recommended to first-time train users that they don't plan their first trip actually thinking that they're going somewhere, that they go and try it out, and ideally do that with someone who's an experienced rider themselves. Many areas offer travel training programs to teach people how to use trains, which the group recommended as well. Also tips to be brave. A lot of people called in asking for information about the study, saying that they'd never ridden on a train because they were scared. The focus group identified that, yes, it is scary because it's something new, but also because the gap is a real issue, and you could fall and you could hurt your chair, which is very expensive to repair. So these are real issues, but that if you try it, most people have been successful, especially this group. Many of them have traveled all over the world using all kinds of different railways. And they said, you know, there's a way to figure it out. You may have to scream and yell, but there's a way to get it done and make the train station accessible to you. And finally, we concluded that most railway stations are really working to meet ADA requirements, and they're really focusing on making sure that there's accessible features within their train stations. But there needs to also be a plan to upkeep those modifications that are put in. The Washington Metro Rail does a really excellent job of keeping their equipment up to date. They have a system called Ellen, which you can call into or have emailed to you updates on elevators being in operating service or not when things go out. Those type of things are really important to make transportation accessible all the time. So beyond what the railway stations have in place for ADA requirements, we found that they really just need to look also at the attitudinal barriers of railway personnel and what they can do to help train railway personnel on how to work with people with disabilities. Again, the Washington Metro has a training in place called ADA Customer Service Training that all of their employees who come in face-to-face contact with clients receive. And the focus group felt that that would be a wonderful service for all railway providers to have on a consistent basis. Some of the focus group participants have actually been asked by Amtrak and other regional providers to come in and do trainings, but it's like once every 2 or 3 years. And with turnover and people, you know, forgetting what needs to happen, it needs to be something that happens on a more regular basis.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.